Thank you for listening to or watching another episode of SNTR Presents. This is going to be a talk about Gambit versus Gambit Prime. If you're listening to this on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you could probably catch me live right now. So click the link below to come hang out at twitch.tv/SayNoToRage. You can take part in these live. If you're watching on YouTube, hitting like and subscribe helps me out, as well as if you're listening in other locations. Sharing it and following the podcast is super helpful to me, as well as following the Twitch channel. So why am I talking about this? Why am I talking about Gambit versus Gambit Prime? We've spilled a lot of blood talking about Gambit on my stream and creating content that, you know, is highly critical of Gambit. I had a video recently where I entertained the idea of a PvE-only Gambit and ultimately said I feel like they still need to try to get the game mode right, even though I don't like it at all. I kind of took up for the people that do like it and said they should try to get it right before just scrapping it or going PvE-only, because that would kind of defeat the purpose and the identity, and it would kind of gut the central core element of Gambit. So Luke Smith in his director's cut releases this idea that they're going to be going down to one version. Eventually, they will be going to one or the other or a combination of the two. And so a lot of people started debating which was better, which would be the one that you would want to have stay. Most people are picking Gambit Prime because it's faster. That's not a good enough reason. I tend to agree with Paul Tassi on that. He kind of changed my mind last night on the Rageless Roundtable. So I wanted to walk through talking about why are we having to choose, and, you know, maybe even why should they go down to one mode. And then we're going to talk about regular Gambit and then Gambit Prime. We're going to kind of talk about their flaws, their problems, ways the game could be improved. I got some ideas that are new that you haven't heard before that we came up with last night on the podcast. So why choose? Luke Smith made it very, very clear that long term, only one version of Gambit will remain. I don't think they want to see a year from now both versions still being maintained in the game, still being, you know, coexisting together. Now, a lot of people were like, oh, so you're going to gut one. You know, there's the blade is hanging over these game modes and one's getting removed. Deej confirmed in an interview, I believe it was Games Radar, where he said that this is not happening anytime soon. For the duration of Destiny 2 Year 3, both of these game modes will remain. Luke Smith was just maybe just kind of putting that on our radar to start the conversation now. I don't think anything new is really going to be said by most people. If you watch my videos on the issue or Datto's videos, if you go read Gig's tweet where he tweeted at Luke Smith, we're all saying the same thing about invasion, everything that's been going on. But if you're going to be combining the two modes, or taking the good or the removing the bad and trying to come up with a game mode that really, really combines the best of both worlds, I think we could really look at them and find a good way forward to maintain the spirit of Gambit. I still believe that on paper, Gambit is a good idea. It just falters and sort of fumbles and doesn't really get any traction once you're sort of in there, once metas settle and once people figure out how to burn down bosses, etc. Eventually, they're going to shrink this down to one, and we want to get that right. If we want the mode to really land the way that everybody thinks or the way that everybody's going to like it, they need to get it right. So let's dive into the meat of the video here. Regular Gambit. Let's talk about regular Gambit. Even with sudden death, a lot of people would say, well, sudden death has made it significantly better. Even with sudden death, I feel like regular Gambit is an absolute slog. It feels long. Sudden death honestly sometimes makes it feel kind of worse because it feels cheesy, especially if somebody's using Shards of Galanor, you know, and they're just kind of spamming their super. I was doing that the other day, and then the other day when we lost in sudden death, it didn't feel like we got outplayed. Their boss melt and our boss melt were neck and neck, and they did like a sliver more damage than us, and then they won. I came up with an idea last night on the Rageless Roundtable to every game of Gambit should only be two rounds, and it should be point-based. Obviously, if you win both rounds, you win. But if you win a round and they win a round, it just goes to the scoreboard, and it just bases it off of points. Start tallying points some way. Motes gained, motes lost, hurt your points. Your damage to bosses, speed on envoys, taking out HVTs, different ways to score points, so that it's always two rounds, no matter what. Honestly, I don't think anybody would balk at this, because they would say, if I win a round and they win a round, just decide who the winner is and let me go back to the freaking lobby. I don't need to go to sudden death. That's not... It's especially if you win the first round and you feel like you're the better team, you make some mistakes in the second round, and then they, like, cheese burn the boss, or they've got shards, they got a bunch of people with Shards of Galanor, and they just cheese burn the boss. It's not gonna... It doesn't feel very good to lose that way. I would rather lose knowing they won a round, we won a round, they had a better round than us. You know, they won. I think that'd be a far better way to take the flow of the game. I'm just talking about the flow of the game right now. I'm not talking about invasion. I'm not talking about heavy ammo. None of that yet. Just the flow of the game would probably be better if it was just two rounds and score based. Now, a lot of people like Prime because it's one round. I don't necessarily know if that's the right call for regular Gambit, the original Gambit of it being two rounds. There's something I kind of like about, okay, let's reset, let's reassess, let's strategize. How can we come back and beat these guys? Can we go score more points than them? Not only do we have to win this next round, we got to try and score more points. So I really feel like that'd be that's a good back and forth if you want Gambit to have that. It's still somewhat competitive, it's still somewhat fun, but it's not the one round burner of Gambit Prime. Invasion still needs addressed. No matter what they decide, no matter what they do with Gambit or Gambit Prime, Invasion needs addressed in a variety of ways. Number one, the influence of Invasion needs addressed first. Before you start messing with overshields and wall hacks and heavy ammo, you gotta start at ground level. The influence of Invasion over the course of a game needs addressed. There's a lot of agreement on first Invasion being too influential, snowballing other teams, Invasion being really, really frustrating. If you address the influence of Invasion first, how often it happens, how much pain you can inflict on another team with Invasion, that needs addressed first. Then you can start saying, okay, now that Invasion is not as influential, it's okay that he's really, really strong. It's okay that they come over with heavy ammo because you've minimized the influence. If you minimize the influence and you minimize their strength, their wall hacks, and bringing over heavy ammo, you could accidentally swing too many axes at the tree and just completely decimate Invasion to where nobody cares to do it. It's not even worth the bother. Like, just keep grinding for the motes. So there's got to be a logical progression between addressing the influence of Invasion, and then you can go up to saying, okay, the strength of Invasion, the frequency of Invasion, how often should somebody be able to come over? They're all intertwined, and they've got to be addressed in that order. I would actually say influence and frequency are tied together, and then after influence and frequency have been addressed and you think you've created a good system, then the power and the strength of the invader can then be addressed at that point. It's kind of like they didn't address Bloom on consoles. They just messed with Lunas and not forgotten. You got to address the ground level foundational issue first. Then you can start to fiddle with the other things. Boss melts also in regular Gambit just feel like a silly climax. There's no mechanics. There's no health gates. There's no health lock-in. Can you lock in the health? Can it be healed up to only a certain point if you've done enough damage? I also think boss melts and boss strategies are just kind of ludicrous and kind of silly. They could take a clue from Menagerie. Menagerie mechanics visually train the player, put some visual training in there, kind of change and simplify the boss fights, but maybe extend the boss fights a little bit so it is more of a back and forth. Just burning down a boss, just ultimately in both versions of Gambit, feels pretty freaking silly. So let's talk about Gambit Prime. Gambit Prime, I think, is tolerable for most people because when you got to do 10 games, you're literally just looking at the stopwatch. How long is this game going to take me? And that's why people are like, oh, just give me Gambit Prime. If I got to do 10 games for an armor set, or 5 games for a bounty, or 3 games for a milestone, people are going to go to the path of least resistance. Prime games go faster. That doesn't necessarily make Prime better, and I thought Paul Tassi made some good points last night on the Rageless Roundtable and really kind of changed my mind that ultimately both game modes are flawed, but Gambit Prime, in many respects, it takes the flaws of Gambit and it magnifies them significantly. Blockers are more pesky in both versions, but their strength and how pesky and strong they are, combined with Moat Drain, combined with somebody coming over and locking it with a full invader set, just puts a massive amount of snow on the already existing snowball that is Gambit. Gambit is a snowball steamroll game. You just run over the other team. There's very little hope of turning the game around. I guarantee you the statistics of first to invade having a correlation to and a causation to winning games is a giant statistic in my favor on this. First to invade is way more likely to win. And again, this is magnified in Gambit Prime because of Moat Drain when there's two blockers on, Moat Bank locking with a full invader set. And the frequency and the strength of Invasion makes all of these problems significantly worse. Also, once you start invading during the boss fight, it is ludicrous how often someone can invade. It is so pesky and so annoying. The disruption level is just absurd. It's honestly just silly and needs to be addressed. So I think Gambit Prime has less going for it. But if you're going to take the primary reason people pick Gambit Prime, which is that it's faster, and you're going to bring that over to Gambit, then you've really really just got to address a handful of things, which is the boss fights are somewhat silly and Invasion is far too influential and far too powerful. The boss fight in Prime is actually closer to a back and forth with the envoys, with the stacking. You got to do something to get the stacks. There's so many times that they're invading. It's a little bit closer to a back and forth, so we could take some influence there from Gambit Prime. But ultimately, Invasion is incredibly frequent, incredibly flawed, and both versions need massive tweaks to make them more enjoyable. But if we're going to tweak one, let's tweak normal Gambit, strip it down to 2 rounds always, make it point system, tweak Invasion, make it less painful, and make the boss fight maybe a little bit more interesting. That's my thoughts on the matter comparing the two game modes. Obviously, you can share your thoughts in chat, Q&A's about to follow, or comment below. As always, if you're listening or watching in any of their locations, I appreciate you doing that very, very much. Please like, share, and subscribe. Thank you for listening to or watching another episode of SNTR Presents. This is going to be a question and answer session that followed my talk about Gambit versus Gambit Prime. If you're listening on iTunes, Google Play, Spotify, or watching on YouTube, you could probably catch me live right now, so click the link below to come hang out and join the conversation. twitch.tv/sayno2rage. If I'm not live, you can follow. If you're watching on YouTube, hit like and subscribe is an easy way to help me out. Let's jump right into the questions. We discussed Gambit versus Gambit Prime because Luke Smith indicated in his director's cut that eventually they're going to go down to one mode. Not anytime soon, though, according to Deej. For the duration of year 3, both game modes will remain. But we wanted to kind of contrast the two modes, talk about some of the core problems with Gambit. So we're probably going to get into a lot of questions today that are suggestions. If we get into micro suggestions, I will glide right over your question. That's just a preface I'm going to put right now, as well as to those people listening. I don't like doing an hour and a half Q&A where I'm getting down into like micro suggestions of like, what if you only go over with 2 shots instead of 3 shots? Like, those things are too difficult. I think there's bigger foundational problems that need addressed, and micro suggestions about solving problems I think is unhelpful. So I'm not trying to be mean or dismissive, but it bogs down Q&A. So I'm prefacing that now, and if somebody comes in late and does that and I pass over their question, chat, just let them know why I am doing that. Redonk says, if Gambit Prime stays, do you think the roles Invader, Collector, etc. should play a more distinct role? Right now, it seems, other than Invader, each of the characters can do each role seamlessly. There was a good suggestion last night from Websky about this, about like role queuing and that, you know, how well this works in Overwatch. And I think it could work in Destiny's Gambit, but you would really, really have to have a very, very full funnel of players, or matchmaking would break down extremely quickly. If there's nobody in your region that is running, you know, Collector and Invader, and you're trying to run the other two or the other one or whatever, you could sit in matchmaking for forever. Now, what they could do is allow you to say, instead of role queuing, you could do role preference queuing. So you could say, I prefer Collector than, what is it, Reaver? What are they? Collector, Reaver, and what's the other one? Invader and Frick. You could put an order of like 1 through 4. So obviously they try and find you games where you would fit in as a Collector. And then maybe your second choice is Sentry. And you're like, I really want to do Sentry. Not Reaver, Reaper, sorry. So, like, you could put it in order. So the most unlikely thing you're going to get chosen for is Invasion. But again, I think that really breaks down. People would be like, I hate invading. I don't want to be the invader. I picked it last. There's not enough people playing. I keep getting thrown in as the invader. So role queuing is a great idea, but I think implementation would be significantly challenging. And those are just a few of the reasons why. I do think the armor sets are going to need retooled. I think the Invader set is absurd, what it can do. It's absolutely absurd. Invasion is already ridiculously broken and overpowered and far too frequent and far too influential. And you're like, hey, why don't we double down and let him lock the bank too when he comes over? Like, it's just silly. Invasion is almost always on the heels of blockers being sent because you don't want to bank until you know you're invading because of moat drain. So if you wait to bank when they're invading, it's incredibly likely that 2 to 3 blockers are on the bank whenever the invasion comes. And if they're full set, the bank gets locked, the bank's getting drained, and he could potentially kill some people and take your moats that way as well. And then they're racing to 50 and they're going to do it again. It is absolutely absurd and broken. And I'm shocked that they think that it's a bad, like, whoever looked at the perks on the armor sets, if they did internal testing, I don't know. It just seems completely and utterly broken. There's no way a full team, one Reaper, one Sentry, one Invader, one Collector, There's just no way even an organized, super smart, super intelligent team can do much against that. Now, you might say, well, if you're sentry, you're supposed to be standing guard. You should be killing those blockers as they come in. You can't kill three blockers the instant they come in. You just can't. So if they're banking properly for that invasion, two to three blockers are coming over all at once, and then they invade. And then you're standing there on the plate like a dum-dum trying to kill the blockers. So if you're behind and they're going to bank first and they're going to invade first, your entire strategy is thrown into upheaval. You got to stay on the plate. You got to try to destroy all the blockers. Then you're all on the plate out in the open when this invader comes over. And then mode drain's not happening, but then the bank is locked and you're all, you know, out in the open. So somebody saying, you know, sentry should deny moat drain. I mean, it'd be cool if the sentry was close by, if he could deny moat drain. But again, then that would work, because then you could run bubble. A Titan bubble sentry would be a perfect strategy. You could basically counteract all moat drain. And I think that's an intrinsic balance in the game mode, because then that character is not killing adds and collecting moats. And their job is to sit on the thing. Now, they might not have their super, though, on that first invade, so they wouldn't be able to do their bubble, but they could do like a towering barricade once they know where the invader is. I just think there's a significant problem with invasion, and when you give invaders more power, it's a huge problem. So the roles and the armor sets and all that stuff is likely going to need significantly addressed going into whenever they decide to, you know, unify the modes or go down to one mode. So I think that needs addressed, because if not, I think you're going to continue to see those armor sets and that game mode loathed and hated. Fet44, if they do end up ditching Gambit Prime, could you see Bungie repurposing the Prime armor sets to do something different, or could it be in those situations like faction armor where it's just forgotten about? That's a big danger. I mean, I think if they retool them and they get them right, they could stay, and then obviously change the way you get them. Or, I mean, Reckoning is going to get retooled to be a little bit better, so I mean, they might not need retooled in how you acquire them. So then if they retool it a year from now and you're like, oh, I didn't get any of those sets, they could be like, well, go get them. They're worth having. We changed this about Collector and Sentry to make them more of a combatant against invading. You know, we changed this about Reaper to make them, you know, a better answer to some of the XYZ pain that shows up with some of the changes that we made. You see what I'm saying? Like, you're going to want to get those full sets if they make those changes, and you're going to be a committed Gambit player. The Inquiry says, trying to get some friends into New Light, given the access the New Light players are given to Year 1 content, does that mean they'll have access to Armor 2.0 and Year 1 guns without random rolls? This is a fantastic question, and I brought this up last night on the Rageless Roundtable, and Paul Tassi decided to write an article about it because he hadn't thought about it yet. There's a lot of confusion on this. If you come in and play Armor a New Light, every armor that's earned from Shadowkeep on is supposed to be dropping as Armor 2.0. But if you're a New Light player, are all guns static rolls for you? I don't know. That's weird. And then if you buy Shadowkeep or Forsaken and you start going into those new activities, then things can drop random rolls. So there's this giant potential confusing spectrum. I think they should take all Year 1 guns and make them random rolls, because it'll be really even more strange. Like Paul gave the example last night on the Rageless Roundtable. He said, so if I'm running Leviathan, I can get Armor 2.0 to drop from Leviathan. I can get Armor 2.0 to drop from Ingrams in Leviathan. But any guns that drop in the Leviathan are going to be static rolls. You see what I'm saying? Like, it's just mega, mega confusing. It makes way more sense to be like, hey, we've just given you a reason to go run vanilla content with Armor 2.0, and vanilla guns have been updated to the new system of random rolls in a mod slot. If they don't do that, I'm going to be very confused. I think the game is going to have a dissonance and an imbalance to it and a confusing nature to it, and I think it's going to be a really, really big bummer. Levictus says, do you think if they leaned harder into the PvE versus PvE the PvE versus PvE aspect of Gambit, would it be a lot less frustrating? Instead of invading being pure PvP, it could be a PvE target on the opposing side. I'm not going to get into micro suggestions. I think if they change invasion to not be PvP, you run the risk of it losing its identity. I think it's okay for invasion to be PvP. It's okay for it to be disruptive by nature. It's just at every level. Okay, the three levels I talked about in the video, right? Influence, power, and frequency. Imagine those are three knobs right now on invasion. You've got the influence over the game, you've got the power of invasion, and you've got the frequency of invasion. Those knobs are all turned up way too high. And imagine if you're in sound, you understand that there's you have the one knob is your mains, and then everything else is sort of in subservience to the mains. I think the influence of invasion is like the mains. That needs turned down first before you start messing with power and before you start messing with frequency. You have to mess with the influence of invasion. What sort of a sway over the game can it have? That's tied to frequency, okay? That's tied to frequency, but that needs addressed first. If you start turning all the knobs at once, you're probably going to completely destroy invasion, and I don't want that. I argued for PvE-oriented invasion. You go over, there's a random ball, you gotta go grab that ball and dunk it on the bank, and it steals motes from them. There's a timer. The sooner you do it, the more motes you steal. If they shoot you, it slows you down but doesn't kill you. You can't kill them. That's an invasion that is disruptive and can steal motes, but it's not so disruptive, it's not PvP. Hindsight's 20/20. The more I've thought about that, I'm like, that is completely changing the core of Gambit. Gambit is supposed to be you're being invaded. Like, it's supposed to be oh my gosh, there's somebody here that can kill us. And I don't know if we want to rip that core element of the identity of Gambit out. It just needs toned down. It just needs toned down. It's like listening to a band's album and somebody turned one guitar in the mix up way too loud, and it's really difficult for you to enjoy that music unless you really like hearing that guitar. If you turn down the guitar, all of a sudden you hear the drums, you hear the bass guitar, you hear the vocals better, you hear the piano. It's up way too loud in the mix, and it needs toned down. Springer HD, what do you think the next meta will be in PvE Destiny Year 3? It's hard to know. If they don't address spike grenades, it's gonna be Well of Radiance with a bubble, because it'll keep you healthy, and Well of Radiance is supposed to be, from what we gathered from the director's cut, it's gonna be one of the stronger buffs to your weapons. Well of Radiance will still keep you very healthy. Well of Radiance with a Titan bubble, and probably Tether, because Tether will now buff heavy weapons. And you may see people going with tractor and swarm spike grenades on grenade launchers. If they don't mess with spike grenades. If they mess with spike grenades, I don't know what the weapon meta will be, but I believe you're gonna see bubble and well paired together, combined with tether, because tether's just so easy to put on a boss, and since tether's gonna start buffing heavy damage, you'll have like one buff on the character from the bubble, you have the protective barrier from the well, one debuff from the tether, and then probably Wendigos. If you can't debuff with tractor cannon, then people are probably going to go with the Wendigo, especially if spike nades get nerfed. If spike nades get nerfed, then Wendigo will be the way to go, because between the well and between the bubble, you're going to have plenty of orbs to get explosive light. Six people shooting buffed weapons of light, Wendigo shots with explosive light, that is very, very strong. So I am sorry about the plastic bag thing. I have no idea why my cat has suddenly decided to come over here and disrupt Q&A and meow and bite my feet. I'm literally sitting like with my legs crossed so he leaves my feet alone, because he will bite them in a playful way, but it's not very pleasant. Coldheart, off topic, but how do you come up with the name Genji Jolly Rancher? I only get the Genji part. It's called Genji Jolly Rancher because I'm going to be putting purple bricks on the ground everywhere. It'll literally look like there's Jolly Ranchers all over the floor. With my finishing move that drops a heavy brick for everybody. So it's called Genji Jolly Rancher. I kind of feel like making a shirt, because it'd be really cool. Like, have a piece of candy and it's all wrapped up and it says Genji Jolly Rancher on it or something. Or Genji flavored Jolly Rancher. But I'd probably get in trouble because I don't own Genji intellectual property or Jolly Rancher intellectual property. Maybe just a Jolly Rancher look-alike candy that has like a throwing blades on it or something. Get Cobb to design it for me. Springer HD, what class will you think will be the best for year three since Warlocks are meta? I don't know if Warlocks are going to go away, because if you need to stand and dump and do a damage cycle, if you need to do that, Well of Radiance is still going to be massively helpful because of survivability and staying alive. Bubble, Weapons of Light will step back onto the battlefield, though. It's going to feel like King's Fall. Benzo, do you think we need two gambits in the game when you can do most, if not all, bounties and quests in Prime? Well, no, I don't think we need two, and Luke Smith indicated that we don't need to have two, and they're going to go to one eventually. Callum, do you feel that fast-tracking both gambit modes into one, just one round, would boost player engagement? Thanks for all the great content. I don't know if we just want to turn it into a one round and done, and here's why. I feel like that... this is really hard to think about, because I could see it from both sides. I could see players saying two rounds is annoying, if you lose the first round, just throw the second. But I think my idea of going to two rounds, no sudden death, and it comes down to points, you're invested the whole time. If you lose round one, no worries. Go hard round two. Try to get more points than them. If it's a tie 1-1, it just goes to the scoreboard to see who wins, no sudden death. What people end up doing right now is if they lose the first round, they're like, we'll just throw, it's faster. Right? It's just faster. Just let them get a 2-0 and then we're back in the lobby. If it's 2-0 or 1-1 and the game length is exactly the same, whether they sweep you with a 2-0 or it's tied 1-1, if the game length is exactly the same, then people won't throw second round. They'll try to come back. I think they'll be more invested. The same thing happens if it's only one round of Prime. If they get one good invasion and you fall behind, a lot of people are like, oh, forget it. Just let them win. It's faster to let them win. Don't try to slow them down. Don't heal their primeval. Let's just get the frick out of here. I don't know. I think that there would be something special, and there'd be a real sweet spot. People would stay more engaged and more invested in the fight if they know we lost round one, let's rally in round two and try to score more points than them, and then it's going to go to the scoreboard to see who wins this game of Gambit. Get rid of sudden death. It's dumb. You don't need it. Two rounds is all you need. If every single game is a two-round game, then you don't have people abandoning ship after losing one round. There's no real reason to win, though, so once you lose, why bother? I personally just like winning. I think that's another thing that comes from winning, though, is if you're trying to get the better, you know, infamy rank and stuff and completing bounties, and I don't know. I do think there needs to be a greater incentive to win, which would give people that driver to try in the second round. Maverick 8. What do you propose Bungie should do about Gambit Prime and Reckoning being linked? If Gambit Prime is taken away, would that mean that Reckoning and the armor would go away as well? No, you would just bring that over to the regular Gambit and kind of create a hybrid mode, so the armor would still have a purpose, as would Reckoning. So, but for solo players, if you get a team that just doesn't want to try and you get trounced the first round, then your team is probably not going to change this for the second round. At least if you lose one, it's done and you can hope to move on to a better team. I can totally see that reasoning, Sean. I really can. I can see where you're coming from. For a solo queue player, it might be nice to say, eh, you know what? I'm gonna bail, or I'm gonna try. You know what I'm saying? Like, I can definitely see saying, if it's just one and done, and you get stuck with a bad team, it's just over, and then you're kind of back in the lobby. You don't have to suffer through a second. You don't have to suffer through a second round. So, again, is that normative? Are people just being like, oh, I hate Gambit, I'm not going to try? Or I don't know. I'll tell you this. When I played normal Gambit off stream, because I actually wanted the games to take longer so I could generate the orbs, I wanted two rounds of ads, so I wasn't going into Prime. When I was playing normal Gambit, I was amazed how many times we would get annihilated first round, and then I wouldn't even be sweating that hard, and the team would rally second round and win. And I would be like, you fricks, now we gotta go sudden death. I was shocked, actually, how many times that happened. Now, that's anecdotal, and that's just my experience, but I don't know. I feel like when people see that, oh, we're down, they won, I feel like a lot of players are more likely to have their sort of pride gets pricked a little bit, and they're like, let's try and rally back here. Especially if you create, think about it, if you create an incentive to be like, win the next round and you might win. It's point-based now. There is no sudden death. I think people be like, let's go for it. Why the frick not? It doesn't matter. It's the game's going to end in after one more round anyway. We might as well try to win. Instead of right now, it's like, well, if we try to win and we do, we got to go to sudden death. And I don't want to go to sudden death. I want to get back to the lobby. This team sucks. You know, you mentioned it earlier, though, the fact that we have to suffer through it or deal with it, get over it, that is the real problem. The game mode itself needs reworked. Well, obviously, this is a multifaceted solution, Rhino. I'm not saying just change it to two rounds. I'm saying address all the other things we've talked about. And while you're at it, just make it two rounds and have it be freaking point based. So I'm in and I'm out. There's more rally, like there's more comeback moments. There's more underdog moments. So, winning first would need to have some sort of an advantage, but not of such an advantage that you can't come back. I don't think this is a... This is why I don't like getting bogged down in micro-suggestions, because I do think they need to make fundamental changes to the game mode first, but I also think a part of a full... If you're going to do a full-court press to fix Gambit, I do think a two-round system with no sudden death, having it be point-based, would create a more normative experience of people trying in the second round, even if they lost the first. Right now, you've really motivated and incentivized people to be like, it is faster to just lose. We have a junk player on our team who's not paying attention. This team is clearly good at what they're doing. Listen, if they just baked and melted in one first round, and you know you're going to lose, and you know you can win second round and maybe get more points, you're going to save your supers. You're going to strategize to steamroll second round to try to rally back. I think that's one of the reasons it happens. They win first round, they spend all their blood and treasure on the hot bake, and then you're setting up next round, and you got tethers ready to rock, you got supers ready to go, and you steamroll to 25 with your supers, and all of a sudden, they're on their heels. You know what I mean? That's a better way, I think. I think that's a better way of setting up how the back and forth in the game works. And if you're going to tell me, okay, next, if you're going to, like, tell me in chat to skip to the next question, you're going to get bopped for that. Don't do that. You're not in charge of the show. I am. So, I would definitely say motivating people to try second round is far better than what we presently have. Now, if you're going to compare my idea to somebody that says one round is superior, if you're going to compare those two rounds like I just outlined versus one round, here's my problem with that. I think you're still creating an environment where the minute the snowball gets rolling, people throw the towel in. And you're like, well, at least I'm out of that game. I'm not playing with those players. Again, I feel like when I play normal Gambit, people are, their pride gets kind of pricked and they rally second round. You can't really do that if there's only one round. There's no moment to be like, all right, come on, guys, let's go. Use those supers, you know? You also have to consider organized teams. Organized teams, man, you fall behind on that first round. It's nice knowing, oh, let's rally and go to the second round and try to win instead of, they got a good first invade. So-and-so fell off the cliff by accident, and there's no way for us to win. Game's over. The game is over. That's my biggest problem with one round. There's no... They can intrinsically weave in a comeback opportunity without catch-up mechanics, and they can do it with two rounds and have it be point-based. Springer HD, what do you think of the next pinnacle weapons will be? I think the next pinnacle weapons will be, it won't be grenade launcher, auto rifle, any of those. I think they're going to rotate back through and give us a pulse. I think they're going to potentially do a sword, pulse sword, and it can't be a scout. It can't be an auto rifle. It's going to have to be something that's older as a pinnacle. Maybe they'll brush back through and do a hand cannon, since it's been a while since Luna's and Not Forgotten. Shoddy. Yeah, Shoddy. Pinnacle Shoddy. We've not had a Pinnacle Shoddy since the Ikalos shotgun. The Ikalos shotgun's a Pinnacle shotgun, don't at me. It's a static roll god tier weapon, and it's got a unique perk on it, except for threat level. Yeah, we've not had a Pinnacle Shoddy. Yeah, Rocket. Oh, you know what? That's probably what it is. Because I bet you they're going to buff rockets again. I bet you they're going to buff rockets again. So I bet you they're going to do a pinnacle shotgun, a pinnacle rocket, and then a pinnacle pulse. They're going to rotate back through and give us a better pulse. And everyone's going to hate it because it's going to be a dad rifle killer. It's going to be a killer. Don't they always do one in each category? Kinetic energy heavy? Isn't that how they've always done it? I think that's always how they've done it, hasn't it? Because it was breakneck. It was breakneck, and then it was the loaded question, and then it was the... Or am I wrong? I think I might be wrong. Maybe they haven't done that. Oh, there could be a, pinnacle trace rifle too. There could be a pinnacle trace rifle. Yeah. They could do a pinnacle trace and a shotgun and a rocket. That's probably what we're gonna get. Oh, was it delirium? So what was all three, wasn't it? Did delirium drop with the breakneck? What dropped when the breakneck dropped with loaded question? Was it the... I can't remember what the third pinnacle was at that time. This season didn't follow it. Revoker and Husher in the same slot. I thought Husher was energy and Revoker was kinetic. It was mountaintop. Okay, so yeah, it's not kinetic. It's not kinetic energy. It's not kinetic energy heavy. So they could double dip. They could double dip. I was wrong. So it could be... It could be a pinnacle trace, a pinnacle shotgun, and then a pinnacle rocket launcher. I bet you that's your three pinnacles right there. Because we haven't got a pinnacle of any of those. Except for, you could argue, the Ikelos. Arham Warlock says, do you think bringing Weapons of Light back is a good decision by Bungie, considering Luke Smith recognized Well of Radiance and certain weapons as something that really hurts in counter design? Well, he acknowledged that, but he also acknowledged they're making changes to buffs, debuffs, and weapon buffs. One buff, one debuff, one weapon buff at a time, and they're probably going to change encounters. They're going to say, you don't just stand and bake anymore. If they do a mixture of Oryx and the Axis fight, where there's movements and mechanics instead of just an absolute bake, I'm sorry, Microsoft just replied to my tweet. That's pretty cool. If you're doing that combination, Oryx mechanics, the mechanics of the Oryx fight, that's kind of the means of damage to the boss, and you kind of bring in the intensity and the movement of Wrath. Weird flex, shut up. I think that would keep people from doing that. The other thing to consider is, I think they're intentionally... I'm really reading the tea leaves here, so hang with me. I think Bungie is intentionally creating a means of ammo economy control, because I think boss fights are going to go away from one phase. And I know Redeem probably hears that and just gets a stomach ache, but I think they're going to move away from one phase boss melts. Like, I think they're going to make it to where it's not even a possibility, because they are creating control over the rhythm of ammo that we've not had before, with the finisher moves creating heavy ammo, with ammo finders working better and telling you when they're working. I really do think one phase bakes aren't going to be a thing in the new pinnacle content. I think new pinnacle content is going to be more about rhythm, endurance, maintaining your ammo economy, and using buffs and debuffs in a more sort of intelligent and purposeful way. So that would be where I think we're heading. And again, I'm kind of reading the tea leaves here. I'm looking at, okay, look at all the things Bungie's setting up. Look at all the things Luke Smith has said. And that's one of my predictions about where things are headed with respect to, like, pinnacle, hardcore, challenging content. Hostile Gamer, do you think they'll add tips for new Guardians joining in the Gambit fun? I have no idea. If they listen to the Drifter, maybe. At the beginning, they could say, you know, pay attention to the Drifter's audio lines. He'll tell you what to do and where to go. Maybe something like that. Like, how you living, Hotshot? Welcome to Gambit. You better listen to me when you're in there. I'll tell you what to do and when to do it. I mean, they could do something like that. They could do a little pop-up. Or, again, you could use his little intro video to really stress that, like, He tells you what to do and when to do it. He does. He talks about killing the envoys. He talks about going to steps or the drill. He tells you what to do. If you're listening, he does. You know, it's time to summon a primeval. You know, he lets you know that you're not, you know, hey, you got 10 motes, might be time to bank. 15's risky. You know, I don't know. Like, something like that. I think they need to really stop incentivizing people grabbing 15 motes too. Like if you're a brand new player, I really think they're setting up people for failure. Here's a bounty. Oh, what's this bounty? Oh, I'm supposed to get 15 motes. Oh, 15 motes is for a big blocker. Okay, I'll do that. And then they freaking tank your team the whole time because they're inexperienced and they keep getting to like 9 or 11 motes and dying from an invader because they're out of sync with the rhythm of the game. So, I love when people have 14 to 15 motes when I invade, easy medals. Yeah, And that's the thing as an invader. There's two reasons to go after somebody with a lot of motes. There's two reasons. Number one, it's a lot of motes. Number two, it's no offense if you try and do this and you lose motes a lot. Maybe you need to hear this. If they have a lot of motes during invasion, they're probably bad. They're probably a bad player because it's kind of adorable. You're like, okay, the rhythm of the game is set and clear. And if you're still holding on to 13 motes at the point of invasion, then you're just not paying attention. Top of the screen makes it very clear. They're about to hit 25. You better go bank. And when they don't do it and they insist on like 12, just two more. Oh, just two more, please. Boom. And then they die. I mean, if you're rolling the dice on the player being skilled, experienced, and aware, and you invade and they're sitting on 13 motes, you're going to roll the dice on being like, that person's probably pretty bad. I'm going to go kill them. You know, and I'm not trying to bash anybody. I don't want anybody to feel bad about their performance in Gambit. I mean, but maybe that's a little clue that you should start banking more often because you're probably hurting your team's progression. So I would think there's some things they could maybe do to encourage people to just knock that off. Like, dude, stop stacking motes, please. You know, so high. KJ the Knight, do you think they will remove Reckoning altogether in the update? No, they're actually talking about retooling it, so they have no reason to remove it. There's an entire weapons pool there that they're going to try to get you to kind of maybe go chase. I really, really want to get the Doomsday. I want that rocket, that grenade launcher with full court and spike nades. Clark Galvin, do you prefer the single round style of Gambit found in Prime, or would you prefer a multi-round version? I already addressed this. I think a two-round version with points would be superior to what either mode offers now. But again, I think there are significant things that need to happen. So let's go to the next question. Let me in, Dave. Let him in, Dave. Bag it up, Dirt. Do you think Gambit should be the normal mode and Gambit Prime should be an event like Iron Banana? Oh, this isn't bad. This is not a bad idea. Okay. There's a lot here. This is good. I'm thinking here. This isn't bad because you could basically then take new armor sets, new perks, give them to the Drifter instead of Reckoning. You grind for the week of Gambit Prime. You can get the full sets. Change their perks to make them less douchey. Yeah, this isn't bad. This isn't bad. This is a good idea, I think. At first blush, okay, at first Passover here, I think if they go down to one mode and they fix a lot of the problems that we're talking about, this is a fantastic capstone to Gambit. This is a really smart move. Because if you get Gambit to be, you know, in a much better place, you know, Crucible's all over the place, but it still captures a good amount of people every day. Get Gambit into a healthier place, retire Prime, and then you bring Prime back as a monthly thing where you can grind for those sets, and those sets have new perks and stuff, and then now Drifter is still present and something's going on. That's a really, that does not shrink the game. Right. Well, and this is not a problem of shrinking the game because the maps are already there. We're not adding new encounters. You're just kind of changing the rules a little bit for a week. You know, it's a week-long thing. There's potential there. There's potential there. You need to iron out some of the details. What do you do? What do you do after the event's over? Do the armor sets matter once the event's over? Are they just pretty and then pointless until the next event comes around? A couple of questions I'd have to iron out some of the incentivization, but I do like this as a capstone to Gambit, because then monthly you could have Iron Banner. So if there's four weeks in a month, Iron Banner is really easy content injection. A Gambit Prime week-long event could be really easy content injection. I think you could do something along the lines of Faction Rally or, the Arms Week thing that got leaked and didn't turn into anything. And then a fourth week could be something like, they could just be trying to very regularly maybe bring things back like Verdant Forest, Infinite Forest, something like that. So every week of the month, something's happening. Week 4 could always be called Challenge Week, and we could be doing something like they're doing with Escalation Protocol. Don't you see? The game feels alive. There's always kind of a reason for you to boot up and log in, even though you might not be a Crucible fan or a Gambit fan. During that week, maybe there's a lot more intentionality. Maybe there's a cool weapon. Maybe there's... Like, imagine if Iron Banner showed up and there was a bounty system like Ada's, and you could really, really grind for that swarm, or you could really, really grind for such and such a weapon that you think is dope from that Iron Banner pool. This is exactly the way you give that feeling of the game is alive, but they're not constantly adding a whole new activity. Again, as he said, a single evolving world, a living world, that's how you make it feel like it's alive. That's a really good idea. I really like what Let Me and Dave just outlined there. That's a winner chicken dinner right there. That's a solid one. Every once in a while, man, somebody hits a home run of an idea, and I think that's a really great, really, really great capstone for them to use to really land that Gambit plane if they get into a better place. Fearless Buddy, sorry if this was asked. Gambit sucks right now because I'm always getting AFKs and people using bots to keep them from getting kicked. What are your thoughts on how Bungie can fix this to make Gambit actually playable? You should have to bank... you should have to kill at least 5 ads or you don't get credit. You know what I'm saying? Something, if you do something really low-key and reasonable, you would absolutely upset all these AFKers. Kill 4 ads, kill 5 ads, something like that. What about if you only invade? If you only invade? Report AFK macro people, enough reports, they're banned, sorry not sorry. I don't know, dude. My go-to loadout for Gambit is rubber bands. I just think you don't need to ban them. I just think you want to... Here's the thing. You just want to de-incentivize people from doing it. If they do it and then they get nothing for it, they'll stop doing it. If you don't kill at least, like, 5 ads, you get no infamy, you get no loot, you get nothing. Right? If you have 3 games in a row where you don't kill at least 5 ads, they bounce you from being able to matchmake for 24 hours. I don't understand. That super, super low level threshold would stop people from doing it. They'd come back and be like, oh, I got banned from matchmaking. Yeah, you rubber banded your controller and you ran in a circle and shot the ground for 35 minutes, and you played 3 games and you didn't kill 5 ads 3 games in a row. You can't play anymore. Bro, if you can't boot up Gambit and kill 5 ads by the end of the freaking game, what are you doing? My daughter could do that. I don't think that's an absurd request. You could make it, 2 ads, 3 ads, something. Maybe in-game vote, I don't know. Let Me and Dave converted their Prime sub to a Tier 1 sub. Thank you for doing that. By the way, guys, when you sub to the channel, you get ad-free viewing here. I know ads became pretty disruptive on the platform. I try to help out. It actually is not a way for me to make more money. I make less money doing this, but I got so sick and tired of it being a problem. If you sub to the channel, you will never see an ad when you're here. But a free way to support me, I'm not trying to get you to sub, I'm just letting you know. You can just hit the follow button. That's a free way to support what I do. So thank you for being here. If you're enjoying the back and forth, if you're enjoying the interactive podcast feel, the vibe of the channel has really changed the last 6 months. So maybe you've been gone and come back. Happy you're here. Frankie, sorry I missed your recent Q&A sessions. I was out birthday shopping today. Why did that even get through? Kali, does Gambit need invasions to be good? I think removing invasions but keeping the race of killing the primeval would still be sending blockers could be fun. Listen, I entertain the idea of turning Gambit into like a glorified Tetris mode where you're sending blockers and certain blockers or certain banking of motes gives you buffs and the enemy team debuffs. It would be like a glorified Tetris mode. You're like sending stuff over, you know, and whatever the frick's going on. He forgot to add thoughts. Yeah, sorry I missed your Q&A sessions. I was birthday shopping. Thoughts? I've changed my position on this. I had people push back, and I've changed my position. I tend to agree with the people who have disagreed with me and pushed back and said, Lono, invasion's just part of the identity of Gambit. If you remove invasion, it just isn't going to be the same game mode, and I tend to agree with them. I think you need to get invasion right. I think you need to get invasion right. I don't think you need to completely gut it from Gambit. I change my position sometimes, and people make really good cases, and people that think I'm like arrogant and I never admit when I'm wrong. I mean, here's a time where you can add to this log to the fire of like proof that Lono Kanemini's wrong or change his position. I'm thinking differently about Gambit. I really do think that a PvE only mode or removing invasion, I think that there's a significant risk there in gutting the game of its identity. So I think it'd be better to get invasion right and to treat the game mode with some respect instead of completely... It would be... I'll give you kind of an analogy, okay? If you go into a room and you really want the room to be designed in such a way where the TV is on the right side of the room and the couch is on the left, and you're really struggling to get like the feng shui of the room right, like you're really struggling, but that's really what you ultimately want to do, is you want the TV on the right side and the couch on the left, okay? Somebody might go in and be like, it's too hard to do it, just completely do it a different way, dude. Just put the TV on this wall and the couch over here, right? You may come to that conclusion, but ultimately when you do that, you completely decimate that really, really strong motivation of, no, I wanted it to be like this. Gambit at its core, I think Bungie wants invasion to be there, and we don't want to just gut it and say, no, get rid of it, PvE only, no invasions. I just think you completely, you know, hurt the identity of the game mode when you do that, and I think that's a disservice to the game mode. On paper, we all thought the game mode sounded awesome. We all liked the game mode, okay? Don't ignore that reality. Don't ignore that fact. On paper, when it was announced, when people played it, we liked it. Feng Shui, however you pronounce it. We liked this game mode on paper and in its early iterations. Why not recapture that and get it right instead of being like, well, a meta settled and people are really smart and have strong weapons. Screw it. Get rid of invasion. You know, 30 rock. Shut it down. Just shut it down. I don't think that's the right pivot. Even though I argued pretty strongly for it in past videos, I've kind of changed my position. Waits for none. Could pulling the armor sets out of Reckoning and into Gambit pool help to improve Gambit experience? Playing more Gambit makes you better at Gambit. In general, I think that loot incentive and loot intentionality needs to be everywhere in the game. If I'm playing Crucible, the Vanguard Strikes, or I'm playing Gambit, I think you need bounties in there that function like Aegis bounties. I will not stop asking for that until I have it. I think that's a far better way to treat playlist activities. It's a playlist activity. That's how we could have treated if you didn't have to go back to the tower, we could have treated the Forge exactly like what it is. It's a playlist activity. You just keep doing it. It just keeps throwing you back in. Playlist activities, Gambit, Crucible, the Strike playlist, Reckoning, Forges, Menagerie could even afford to maybe restart itself. It might be a too big of an encounter. But don't you see? That's how it should be. You just stay in there, and it just keeps spitting the weapon out. You would probably be far more likely to play a game mode that you have very little interest in if you know there's intentionality and a very, very healthy rhythm of loot delivery. You would. Nobody was like, oh my gosh, the Forges are so much freaking fun. I absolutely love the Forges. Nobody was saying that. Nobody made a video that was like, guys, the Forge activities are some of the best content in Destiny. Nobody said that. Why? It was meat and potatoes. It was repetitious. But why were we in there? For the guns. For the guns. So, you'd go into Gambit, even though you maybe don't like it that much. You'd go into Crucible, even though you maybe don't like it that much. Because you'd know, after one or two games, I'm getting the gun. And I'm just going to stay in here all day until I get the gun that I want. Pikadu. If it comes to community voting, Prime will still get my vote. Blockers have the same health in both modes. The random Vex snipe across the map doesn't happen in Prime, and the Prime group of randoms has higher chance to survive a stack than an irregular. You'd need to really argue for why you think that. I don't necessarily understand your reasoning here. It's a whole lot. I feel like you get steamrolled in Prime a whole lot faster than you're going to get steamrolled in normal Gambit, because like I said, I've gone in, and this is anecdotal, but I've solo queued into normal Gambit, and I feel like there's far more round one, round two, sudden death. Round one, round two, sudden death. When I play Prime with randoms, I don't feel like I have a chance to survive a stack and come back. I feel like I get steamrolled off the first invade, and then they melt the boss before we even have ours out. I don't know. Maybe I'm just really unlucky, and you and I just have polar opposite experiences. Levitate Green with the brand new Prime sub. Enjoy your dope badge and emotes. You are dope and deserve dope stuff. Enjoy ad-free viewing on the channel. Thank you. Appreciate that. Psychotic Goldfish. If Gambit is reduced to two rounds, do you think the catch-up mechanic should be removed? Yes. Yep. Catch-up, and this is why I said what I said. I didn't make as strong of a case as I probably should have here. If you do two rounds score-based, then there's zero reason for catch-up mechanics. I skipped a question. Sorry, I'll go back. You completely negate the reason for there to be catch-up mechanics. Your chance to come back is the next round, and it's a self-contained contest. I think catch-up mechanics are... they're dumb. They're really, really dumb. And once I summon my Primeval, you shouldn't be able to send blockers. Like, there's so many things that makes playing from behind so pesky and annoying. If you're behind, come back and get good and overcome. The game helping you come back, I just think is absurd. Having a chance to come back is different than the game helping you come back. Do you see the difference? Round two, fight. You can come back. You have a chance. There's a difference between having a chance to come back, like on a trials card or a round two gambit. It's a chance. The game saying, oh, we're sorry that you're bad or had a bad start. Let us pull you up and give you a chance. Let's help you come back. Undercutting the dominance of the other team or the good play that the other team made. Listen, if you start minimizing the influence and the power and the sway of invasion, then a really good invasion or a really good team that pulls ahead of you, they really, really deserve it. Right now, catch-up mechanics are kind of warranted because invasion's stupid. So, like, you get invaded, you get set way, way back, and you're like, well, it's hopeless. Well, we have catch-up mechanics. You're just putting fingers in leaks at that point. You're, like, reacting. Oh, invasion's too strong. You over there. Catch-up mechanics. Give them some catch-up mechanics. Help out. No. Go to the source of the problem. The source of the problem is invasion. This is reactionary. Stop being reactionary. Be proactive. Fix the core problem, and you don't need catch-up mechanics. If a team wins round one, they probably freaking earned it. And then if you win round two, it comes down to who played better, the scoring system. Motes banked versus Motes lost, that kind of a thing. Because then, if you won round one, and they might win round two, you could sway the tide by really being like, no, we really need to focus on invading and taking motes from them. That's going to hurt their overall points. We can't stop them. They pulled ahead. But at the very least, we can invade, make them lose motes. That hurts their total point value. You see, like, I don't know. I feel like catch-up mechanics are literally a reaction to the absurdity of the power and the influence of the invader, and you don't need catch-up mechanics if you rein in the invader. I'm not KC. What do you think about adding perks to the Gambit sets that use motes currently held for perks? Maybe a set having access to a shield, but only if you have X amount of motes. This is a micro suggestion, so I'm going to skip it anyway. This is too hard to flesh out into how it would influence the game. It's a micro suggestion. It's not a big like game-changing suggestion. You're trying to add little minutiae of perks and game changers depending on how many motes you're holding. That gets too complex. They need bigger foundational changes first before they can get into stuff like that. Prometheus, do you think Bungie should buff Code of the Commander since they're adding Weapons of Light and removing stackable buffs? Feel like Weapons of Light makes Code pointless. Love damage buff that you and you lose the DPS of a fire team member. They said they changed all Void subclasses. I'm fairly certain that was the phrase they used, so we'll have to wait and see what they're doing. Ashen Hollow, should Gambit have a mercy rule? I hate when we're trouncing their team and just get bogged down from their blockers and constant invades because of the catch-ups. I've been in some games where I'm like, can this just be over? They're gonna lose. They're at like 60 motes banked, and we're on stack 3 Primeval, like Primeval Slayer. Can this just be freaking over? You know, I don't know if I want a mercy rule, though. I feel like that would encourage just throwing, you know? It would just encourage throwing. I just think you just got to deal with it. Now, again, invasion frequency would probably tone some of this down. If they tone down invasion frequency, you might not be saying this. Constant sending of blockers once the primeval's out, I've always thought that feels illogical. I've always felt like that was here you go. I'm going to talk out of both sides of my mouth. Lono, I thought you didn't like catch-up mechanics. I'll trade you, okay? I'll trade you. Once my Primeval is out, you can no longer send blockers because, you know, blocking as a term means you're blocking the bank. So it doesn't make any sense. So once my Primeval's out, you can't send blockers anymore, all right? But every time we get a stack of Primeval Slayer, you get like a multiplier on banked motes. So when we get to stack 2, you have an opportunity to just anything you banking is double, and you're probably going to be able to summon your Primeval, assuring that you're within striking distance, but you're not sending frickin' blockers anymore. What you're doing is you're not saying, oh, this team blasted ahead, we're just going to help you catch up. We're saying, well, they're so far ahead, it's virtually hopeless at this point. So if you bank motes and they have a stack 2 or a stack 3, once they get to stack 2 or stack 3, you're basically summoning your Primeval automatically. And then at least there's a chance that you could maybe have a back and forth now. Even still, that's the difference, right? There's a chance to come back. You're probably not going to come back, but because you're not sending blockers to us, so we're having an easier time. You know, you're not cluttering up our plate or whatever, you know. I don't know. That might be a bad idea anyway. I mean, now that I'm thinking about it, you're still pulling somebody up. You're still giving them a spiny shell. You're like, oh, you're in the back? No problem. Come all the way to the front. I don't know if I like that. I don't know. In any case, sending blockers once our Primeval out is just freaking pesky as all get out. You know, you could do something else. You could do something else. Like, you no longer send blockers, but every time you bank and you send what would have been a blocker, maybe you get some heavy ammo. And if invasion's less frequent, that heavy ammo is obviously designed to help you melt your boss when he shows up. I don't know. Again, anytime I talk about a catch-up mechanic, my blood boils. I'm like, ugh, why would you do that? Why would you help them? They're behind. I think round 2 is designed to help them come back if they lost round 1. 7 Electron, do you think Reckoning should be more like normal Menagerie, a no-fail event? Yes. Yes. Yep. It's not failable. Oh, this is good. This is good, 7 Electron. I just got a great idea. Perfect idea, okay? And it fixes the loot problem in Reckoning. Instead of every little station, like every little station when you fill it and they're in Reckoning is a chest. It puts a chest at the end. What are there? 3 or 4 of them? Okay. There's 3 or 4 of them. that puts a chest at the end of Reckoning that has a pretty high chance of dropping a Reckoning gun, okay? So now if you get knocked off or you get blasted off and you miss, like, the capture point number one, no worries. Everybody respawns. As soon as you initiate section two, like the little defense point section two, the timer restarts. So a really, really good team is going to get a lot more chests at the end. A really, really bad team is going to get less chests. But people aren't going to want to back out. They're going to be like, let's just keep going, frick. It takes longer to back out and re-queue. Let's just keep going. Because you don't, in a match-made activity, if people are like, oh, we're going to get less loot, we're going to back out. Reckoning's a little bit more linear and a little bit more forward momentum. People are like, oh, let's just keep freaking going. We can still get two or three extra chests at the end. That could be a really, really good way to say, oh, hey, you know, Reckoning's kind of a bummer. It's not failable anymore, but if you run it perfect, you get more chests at the end. That's that menagerie incentive to play well, but there's like a levy to protect and catch. There's like that net to catch really, really bad teams. Jay Kayerskine, thank you so much for the Prime sub. Enjoy your dope badge and emoji. You are dope and deserve dope stuff. Enjoy ad-free viewing on my channel when you're here. Thanks for the sub. Thanks for using your Twitch Prime here. EPKA, so many of the suggestions seem to be aimed at minimizing the pain at Gambit or reducing match time. Do you think Gambit as a game mode as a whole can be salvaged? Reed, made fun enough that people don't want to get out of it as soon as they've gotten their boxes checked. Yeah. I think it's worthy of redemption and can be redeemed. Basically the EAZ. Yeah. The chess mechanic from the EAZ. Yeah, uh-huh. Similar to that. Yep. Just throw that in Reckoning and make it non-failable. Problem solved, you know. And obviously, if everybody wipes on, like, the checkpoint number one, don't start the timer for checkpoint number two until they get there. They're going to have to fight their way back to it. There's going to be ads in the way. But as soon as they step on, the timer starts for checkpoint number two. Scam Jones. Any idea to why they are being so quiet on weapon tuning? I have an uneasy feeling about farming for rolls right now. You and me both. My theory that I'm still kind of clutching, like somebody hoping they still get asked to prom, you know, and it's a week before. I'm still clutching to this. I still think they're holding on to their weapons announcement to make it closer to Borderlands. I think they're focusing heavily on armor right now. It's not as exciting. It's cool. It's nice. But then they're going to drop every weapon's random roll. They're going to drop that bombshell in closer proximity to Borderlands 3's launch date. I would say that I would honestly say that's where you want to go, because I think that, you know, ultimately if you don't do anything with weapons, Shadowkeep's going to land it's going to land like kind of like a flat note out of a trumpet. It's like, bruh. It's like armor and some gun, like, I don't know, unless the guns you can craft with Aeris are really, really dope, and all the guns that we're looking at that look like they're the Forge, the Osiris Forge weapons coming back, like, covered in grass and moss, unless those weapons are really, really cool, and it's a really, really good content loop, I'm super concerned about why would you not do that to the game? They could even say, this is how many weapons are now farmable. That would be a huge banner. Let's say the number is 1,007 or something, 1,017. 1,017, that's probably too high. Let's say 502. 502 weapons brought forward to random rolls or something, like, so many weapons, you know? Something like that. 777 guns. Evil the Waffler. Bungie is changing supers and buffs and debuffs in Shadowkeep. Do you think maybe these will be enough for Gambit as well as if they handle invaders with your suggestions too? Well, these are separate, right? Gambit's going to need its own ground level tuning. What you're going to be able to do with heavy ammo, with finishers, with heavy ammo, with ammo finders and stuff, I wonder if Gambit's going to get even crazier in Shadowkeep, because we're going to have more influence over the flow of ammo. Giving your entire team heavy, but only using half your super, it depends on how effective the Genji Jolly Rancher build is. If that build is really effective, and every 2 to 3 sections of ads, I can get to half my super with that build, then we're going to have heavy the whole dadgum time. I mean, that's going to be ridiculous. That's going to be unbelievable. Now, maybe that'll bring a natural balance. Maybe that'll really push back on invasion. Yeah, come over and invade. We're just going to truth your face off. We all have heavy, sucker. Like, I don't know. You know, it could bring balance. It could frustrate people because they might not understand. How are they getting heavy so often? If they don't understand the beauty that is Genji Jolly Rancher, maybe they won't. I mean, they'll be like, what the frick is going on? Like, how do they have heavy the whole time? Because I think it's a little bit more complex to expect people to kind of understand that. And that's good and bad, right? That's good and bad. Because if you're constantly going in and not understanding why you're getting steamrolled by heavy, it's not like being like troubleshooting in a raid. Like, what could we do? We need more heavy ammo. Oh, I heard you can do this. I don't know. Heavy or not, I'll see you through that wall. True, but truth is really helpful. Macy has magic. What if they changed invasion so that you have 30 seconds or however long it is to get 2 kills? After those 2 kills, you get sent back to the other side. This is a micro suggestion. I'm skipping it. Incadius. Could adding an objective for invaders other than just getting guardian kills maybe lessen the intensity of invading? We've already addressed having them come over and not have it just be purely PvP. We've already answered that one. Blader Magician. Would adding a 10-second or so timer after the other team banks for their invasion before the portal opens help with invasion? Maybe. I don't know. I think the problem there is that you're gonna potentially completely gut invasion. Any intelligent teams would be like, you got 10 seconds, run to the bank and bank. And then what do people do? This is a bit of a micro suggestion, but I'm gonna deal with it. This would be exactly like not killing the third envoy and just waiting for the invader. It'd be very similar. Oh, we got 10 seconds, run to the bank. Everybody runs to the bank and banks all their moats. And then they wait. Who cares if you die? You can clear any blockers that come over. You're all just standing on the bank waiting. He comes over and you blast him, right? And if he kills you, it's like it slows you down, you know? I don't know. That just has the potential to completely decimate invasion. So, Nick 1893, would it be too far off the wall for Destiny if the invader becomes a taken enemy like a knight or an ogre instead of invading as a guardian? I mean, I love where your head's at. This is really close to doing like the relic, because then if things needed nerfed or buffed, you wouldn't be nerfing or buffing weapons or supers. You would be nerfing or buffing a relic, or in this case, an ogre. I love this idea. I really, really do. I don't know how this would jive with the lore, but this reminds me of, I loved in Gears, I don't know what Gears it was, I loved Beast Mode. I absolutely loved it. I played that mode. I was a boomer day in, day out. I loved being a boomer. It was so fun. It was so fresh. It didn't feel like Gears anymore. It felt like something new. It felt like something I had never done before, you know? Invading as a mini boss would be really, really fun. But I don't know how effective that would be. Bosses generally don't kill people, and people would just kind of bake you. So you would just basically be like, you are a boomer. Yeah, I was born in 81. I'm a baby boomer. I don't know. I mean, you'd have to make this boss. There'd have to be something. Two words, stop mechanic. Yeah, but I mean, people would just sit back and bake. It's really, really hard. Imagine being an ogre and trying to kill people that are nowhere near you. Like, it would be fun, but I don't know how effective it would be. Because while you're doing that, you're not helping your team, right? You're not helping your team. And if they don't put a time limit on it, then people could be like, just ignore him. He's just going to be stuck over here for a minute and a half. Just ignore that stupid ogre. We'll get all our motes, then we'll go bake him. And then that whole time, he can't do anything to help his team. He's just some big, dumb, clumsy ogre, like, walking around the map trying to catch up with a bunch of guardians. I love the idea. I love the idea, but it would be... I don't think it would... It sounds cool on the get-go, but man, oh man, I think it would just not work out in practice. It would become comical. Ashen Hollow. Invasion doesn't have a risk, really. Should the effects of invasion only take place if you get out alive? Primeval heal, maybe make a taken HVT spawn. If you kill an invader after he kills his teammate with... Sorry, I know this is a micro. This isn't a micro. This is a broad suggestion. This isn't bad. You're not saying, what if I invade and I can get a mode and go back to my side? You're saying, the effect of what I do only affects gameplay if I get out alive. There's still a lot of problems here, because you can still go over and just basically hide and just basically stare at the bank. And then people could try to hunt you down. It's still a giant distraction. Even if you got all your motes back after he killed you, you're still not alive. You got to come back, get the motes back, and get back to the bank. And how does that work? Does that... If he gets out alive... Oh, you could basically call it like an invader's claim. An invader killed you! He's got a claim on your motes! Better kill him! And then if people kill him, his claim on your motes is invalidated. But his claim on your motes, like, he gets out with your motes if he gets a kill. That might add a level of, like somebody, like Genius is saying, like, he's a thief. He's got a claim on your motes. If he gets out, then he becomes the hunted. My only concern about this is you're actually causing it to be still even more of a disruption. But at the very least, if you get rid of him, res your teammates, go to the bank, everybody still has their motes. It's a speed bump, not a roadblock. Funk the Buddha with 27 months. Welcome back, dude. Thank you for... That's a lot of motes, man. That's a lot of motes. That's a lot of months. Thank you. Yeah, this isn't bad. This isn't bad because this is far-reaching, okay? This is far-reaching. And it would really, really make it to where if I come in and I launch my truth and I get a kill, everybody knows where I am. Now I've got to hide for the duration of the invasion. And then I only get that one kill and they only lose those one motes. Again, my lingering concern would be whether or not they kill you, or I think people would just get one kill and then hide. And it'd be really, really hard to go kill him. You gotta cross the map usually to go where they are. By the time you get to him and kill him, you save your buddy's motes. Would that window of time frame still be essentially a complete upheaval of what your team was doing, which means now they're invading again? I think your idea would pair really, really well with spreading out the frequency of the invasion. If you could almost guarantee that there's never like a double invasion, that needs to be really, really rare. If he invades, gets a kill, and we all chase him down to kill him, we need some sort of confidence that that's a smart play, that's the right play, because he's not going to go back to his other side and immediately invade again. We need a window of time. There needs to be a window of time for recovery. We got rid of him, get that guy's res, or oh, you res yourself, get to the bank, bank the motes, let's keep it going. It's more of a speed bump. My concern is your idea would get completely, like... invalidated as a good idea, because it would basically be he invaded, he got a kill, we chased him down, we either got him or we didn't. If we don't get him, then he also gets the motes and we wasted our time. It's a double whammy. Oh, and he's invading again. The invasion portal timer doesn't start until they go back via death or killing everyone. I don't know what you're referring to. That's not true. If he goes back to his side and his team is actively banking their 50th moat, he can jump right back in and invade again, making it really hard for that team to have a recovery window. Red Mosquito, do you think that there should be a risk-reward mechanic for invading in Gambit, such as bringing motes across? We've talked risk-reward before. It's a micro-suggestion. I don't want to talk about it again. Beast Osiris, what do you think about the competitive PvP updates? We're going to have to wait and see. It's good to see that 3v3 Elim's at least going to be in a testing ground, so it could potentially bring back trials. Going to 3v3 survival and having a solo queue for survival. I mean, I'll be honest, if I ever have to do anything in PvP, I'll probably jump into solo queue survival and see how it goes. That's more appealing to me than everything else, because I'm not going to run into stacks. And I'm a decent player, so maybe I'll get matched with decent players, you know? I don't know. It would be unlikely for me to go into a game and face a bunch of amazing players. The odds would be in my favor. Really strong players tend to cluster together. And going into a game full of high-skilled players is unlikely. Random Nade. I think Invasion needs more risk. What if you couldn't go through the portal unless you have X amount of motes? Yeah, people that are getting stuck on the risk, we're getting stuck on this risk flat tire. I think, again, giant foundational change is influence over the game needs to go down. Risk is in another category. Even if they risk, they could still come over and have a huge influence over the game. You got to turn the influence knob down. That's potentially linked to the knob of how frequently can you invade. Then the knob of how strong they are needs to be turned down. If you do that, you probably don't really need to mess with risk. It's just like, no, you go over and invade. It's part of the game. And the influence and the power of invasion has been lessened so that it's more reasonable. As I said, when you listen to an album, if the guitar is turned up way too loud and he's doing too many solos, lower the frequency of how many solos he's doing, turn down the volume, and now the guitar is a nice complementary presence in the music. That's what invasion needs to be like. It needs to be not as pronounced and not as frequent. Wolfthorn. Riffing on your removing blockers after one side has the Primeval, lock both invasion portals when one side summon Primeval. Banking motes heals Primeval. Invasion portals open after both sides have Primeval. This isn't bad, although in banking motes healing the Primeval wouldn't do anything. I mean, I guess you would limit anybody doing like any initial damage. Sometimes they pick at him, sometimes the tether hurts him a little bit, and all your remaining, you know, banked motes would heal him. There wouldn't be a lot of healing going on. But you're saying invasion's locked until both sides have their Primeval out. And then they summons the Primeval, but it doesn't send blockers anymore. Yeah, I think I'd be okay with this. Again, we're getting down to the minutiae, and it gets hard to really know how that would play out. Red Rocker. Lono, this might be crazy, but hear me out. What if you bump the moat cap to 100 per round? Whoever hits 75 per first puts everyone into 30 seconds of 4v4 PvP. Take away invading. Yeah, you're trying to create a whole new game mode. I don't care to even talk about that. We need to deal with Gambit as Gambit exists. Don't create another mode. Anamana. When do you think Gambit changes will be expected? I would say summer. I would say summer of next year. I don't think it's a hot burner right now. Third season is when they'd probably want to try to do it. If they're going to do an upheaval to Gambit, they could do it as a third season. It could be a part of the seasonal grind. It could be a reason to jump in. If they're going to want to make changes to Gambit, they're going to want to fill the funnel. You know, this is a different version of Gambit. If you've not liked Gambit, we've made significant changes. We think a lot of people are going to like this. It's part and parcel of the new grind. It's part and parcel of the new loot. Fill that funnel. Attach it to the pass. You know, something like that. Estimated profit. Maybe making it so when invasion starts, both teams start getting random people stuck to the other side until all four players have had their 8 seconds. What are you even talking about? Number one, making it random is not cool. If I'm in the middle of something, I don't want the game yanking me to the other side at random while I'm trying to kill something or bank motes. And then everybody goes over until they've all had their 8 seconds. What in the honest good to goodness frick am I going to do in 8 seconds? Like that. Oh, hang on. Okay, move. I'm done. I'm out. 8 seconds. Like this sounds, you're going to turn the game into like a schizophrenic nightmare of, I don't know what the frick I'm doing and where I am. I don't think this would work at all. This would be horrendously bad for casuals. They would have no idea what's going on. It's good to just say, hey, go over and bank motes, go over and kill stuff, you know? This is chaos. This is chaos. Angry roommate, just get rid of the overshield? Not really a question. Huns Bajek. The Invader armor is BS. How do you fix the Gambit Prime armor? It needs retooled. I would say that, you know, the benefits of being the Invader is absurd. We've already talked about that. You know, it needs to be toned down. I don't like it that much either. It adds more snow to the snowball. Mr. Radio Voice, what do you think about lowering the health of enemies? I don't think the enemies are that bad. I think there's a really, really weird aggro and damage output thing that happens. Can't really understand. It's hard to understand what's happening. It's really hard to understand what's happening, but we've all experienced it when a Cyclops, you know, a Vex Cyclops one-shots you, or a wizard shoots at you and you're alive and then you're suddenly dead. There's really, really weird aggro focus and really, really weird damage output that it's odd. I don't know what it is. I don't know if the enemy's health is the issue. There is something odd that goes on in Gambit, and I can't really put my finger on it. It's like they made... Here's my theory on what's going on. When you're playing a strike or a public event area, you notice sometimes enemies are stupid. Their aggro patterns, their pathfinding, and their kiting is just sort of like... They seem kind of aimless and dumb, and then you get within a certain amount of area, and then they're on high alert. So let's say when you're in the public space, the enemies are on like alert level 5. You go into a strike, enemies are on alert level 7. They're kind of paying attention to where you're coming from. I feel like in Gambit, they've cranked up their alert level and their aggro insistence. Like they insist on aggroing and following you and shooting at you no matter how far away you go. Their aggro insistence and their aggro proximity is all the way up. And I think the reason that they're doing that is Gambit is supposed to be a battle, so you shouldn't be really encountering enemies just kind of like walking around waiting for you to one-shot them or take them by surprise. So it's meant to feel like a battle. So even in a strike, if you're coming from far enough away or a public event, you can kind of take the enemy by surprise. That's not meant to be happening in Gambit. So my theory is, they said, in order to maintain the feeling of a battle, enemies need to spawn in and immediately look for aggro. They're on high alert to lock on aggro, and their aggro proximity and their aggro intensity is super high. That's my theory about what's going on. I don't know. The enemies behave and shoot and do damage in a much different way in Gambit, and I think it's just their way of creating this feeling of a battle. Jenith, sorry if it's already been said, but I think the team sending an invader shouldn't be able to bank for the time of invasion. It would give a little rest to the opposing team and would pair well with Ashen Hollow, with the effects of invasion being accounted only if the invader gets out alive. This doesn't work, though, because while he's over there invading and wrecking face, they're just stacking motes anyway. Most people aren't really banking during invasion. Now, they might bank to stack and do the moat drain in Prime, but a lot of the times, by the time he's coming back, making them wait till then, all they're going to do is crowd around the bank, and they're going to be like, okay, he's back, and now, boom, 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 here come all the invaders. They already kind of do that anyway, so this doesn't really solve any problems. Johnny Always, has Bungie confirmed if finisher moves will be active in Gambit? You know what? They're not active in PvP. I don't know. Making them not active in Gambit would be... I think that would be bad. That would be a bummer. You're going to make people want to play Gambit even less. Oh, man, these new awesome finisher moves? I can't use them in Gambit? Well, I guess I don't like Gambit even more than I did before. My dislike for Gambit has increased. I don't think that'd be a good idea. But they haven't confirmed it, but good question. Jet Boy, here's an idea. When you invade, you're required to locate a pool of light that will allow you to kill a guardian. That would make guardians immune until you've earned the buff. Sort of like PvE mechanics. What do you think? Again, you're getting down into the nature of Gambit, so let's think about the words here, right? There's the influence, the frequency, the power. This is the nature of Gambit, of invasion. You are trying to change the nature of invasion to something else. No. Time and time again, you guys have asked these questions. They need to turn down the influence, turn down the frequency, and then from there, maybe not turn down the power. If you're not invading as often, and invading doesn't turn the tide of a game so easily, if the influence has been lessened, we might not need any of these suggestions. You might not need to make him weak or less powerful or or have him doing this that you're suggesting. Foundationally, that's what I think. You just turn down the frequency and the influence, and then you might not have to do anything else. Your relic idea is essentially the same as that suggestion. It's not essentially the same, because you would go over and immediately be able to damage enemies, and your overshield and wall hacks would be designed in relation to the item. So you'd be really tanky and have really great wall hacks if you're using a melee relic. Your wall hacks and overshield would be lessened if you're using the sniper, because you're playing far away and you're harder to shoot. And your wall hacks and your overshield would be kind of in the middle if you were using like an explosive relic, like a scorch cannon or something. This is asking somebody to go over, walk around and travel, and try to find a place to stand, and then they can shoot the enemies. Like, you're completely changing, like, the nature of invasion. Understand, but that's changing the nature of invasion. Well, incorrect. No, it's not. If I go over with any of the relics, the nature of invasion is I come over with something strong and try to kill you with it. He's saying, if you come over, you can't do anything until you go and stand in this pool. You literally have an objective first, and only after that objective, then you can... you've earned the buff to damage the Guardians. You're changing the nature of it. You don't even achieve the goal of killing Guardians in the same, like, way. You're doing a PvE, as he's saying, you're doing a PvE mechanic first, and then attacking. Mine is just just avoiding nerfing supers and weapons. You're going over and you got a weapon and you're ready to go. You're ready to kill them. It's just, if they need to nerf this weapon, whether it's a spear or a sniper or a rocket launcher or whatever, if it's too strong, or overshield or wall hacks are too strong, they can tweak that. He's saying you could come over and literally not be able to do anything. The pool could be in a really, really bad spot. I mean, RNG could screw you here. Oh, wow, I got to go stand in a pool and it's literally right freaking next to them. You know what I mean? Players would camp the well. Well, it has to be RNG. Again, I just think we don't even need to do the relic idea, even though I like it. We don't even need to do the relic idea. Turn down frequency and influence. Turn those down first. And see what happens. I think small iterations are the key here. You turn down frequency and you turn down the influence, and then just leave things alone. There's going to be a ton more heavy ammo in the game, Lona, with weapon ammo finders and these finisher moves. If you can use finisher moves in a gambit, there's going to be heavy ammo everywhere. That might naturally just put invaders on their heels. They might have a harder time because it's going to be more likely that they invade and face a team that has heavy, right? Again, small iterations. If we completely swing the pendulum and change invasion, it's completely different, or we add mechanics, you run the risk of overcorrecting. I would say right now, look at the frequency and the influence. Tone those down a little bit so it's not a one and done, whoa, first to invade wins. And then just sort of see what happens. It's easier to make pivots and like, oh, we need to hang on. We really, really hurt frequency too hard. Nobody's even invading anymore, right? It's easy to make those pivots if you're just kind of tuning dials. If you're digging in and adding mechanics and changing the nature of invasion and all that, I think that's way more complicated and can have way more implications that we're not even foreseeing. That's why I think micro suggestions and solutions right now are super unhelpful, because we don't even know the consequence of some of the things people are outlining. To me, little pivots and then wait and let it run for a season. Guys, for this season, we're just going to see how it goes. We've turned down frequency. You get one invasion at 60, and you get one invasion, or two or three invasions during you know, the boss fight. We've turned down the frequency of invasions to see if that won't minimize the influence of invasions. We're just going to see how it goes for this season. A small adjustment. That might not be a small adjustment. That might be a bad example, but you get my point. Run it for a season and see what people's reaction, you know, was. By the way, if you guys are enjoying this content, the back and forth on the podcast, remember to click follow. Reset's about to happen. We're going to check all the reset activities, check all the vendors. So stick around for that. If you're enjoying yourself, please click follow. That's a free way to support what I do. And then there's the commands in the title if you want to support me with, like, the creator code or buying, like, the skin in Borderlands, Fortnite or whatever. Janiper, would taking Gambit to only two rounds also create another annoying meta where both teams hold supers in strong strats till the second round? No. No, not necessarily. If you're ahead and you got supers and you can win, take the win. You know, maybe there's a bonus point. Maybe there's like a bonus of like 5 points for winning first. Dude, we're going to win. Do it. Use your super. The bonus points are good. 5, 10 points or something like that. The team that's trying to come and win in second round, they've got to overcome those bonus points. But if they're smart and save their supers, they can kind of steamroll those first couple of moat stacks and those first couple of banks. And maybe that makes it so where they can't necessarily catch up guaranteed, but it gives them an opportunity to have a good round. You know, like... I don't know if anybody would do this. Like, well, just sit on our supers, guys. Round two's more important. And you just slow walk the burn. I think you'd want to incentivize that first win. Coldheart. Do you think the blockers shouldn't teleport so much? Invader aside, there's nothing worse than having moats and you want a bank, but the stupid captain teleports every other second. They need to limit how far the blockers travel. Sometimes they go into the most backwards, stupid places. So it just gets absurd. Reset just happened. So I'm actually going to cut it there so we can just engage with the content and look at all the stuff at Reset. So if you're here right now, don't go anywhere. Click follow to support the stream. If you're listening in any other locations, I appreciate you doing that. Please like, share, and subscribe.